What is Accent? Taught by Sherry Summers. This lesson was recorded specifically for students of the American Accent course. Any reproduction of this audio in any form is strictly prohibited without the permission of AccentOnSpeaking.com.
Hi, and welcome to the very first class of the American Accent Workshop. I'm really glad to have you here with me, and I want you to think of us as having a lesson just one-on-one, me and you. And the nice thing about having this kind of class is you can have this lesson again and again as many times as you need it. That's exactly why we've given you these audios in MP3 format, so you can take me with you wherever you go, while you're on your way to school or work, while you're working out, whatever. Listen to the lessons as many times as you need to. Now today we're going to start with the very basics. We're going to talk about what is an accent, just as an overview. But before we do that, I'd like to talk about maybe some inhibitions you might have, some things you've thought about or some worries you've had. Because I know that learning a new accent as an adult can be challenging. I do admit that. But I have to say that part of the problem is you. It's the way you feel about what your capabilities are, what you can do. Now, you've probably heard that people can't learn a new accent after the age of 12. Well, you probably don't believe that completely because here you are with me. Obviously, you do believe that there is some hope. But still, you may have a few worries. You may have asked yourself some of the questions that you see on the worksheet in front of you. For example, is it really possible to change my accent? Is it necessary to change my accent? Well, first of all, I would have to say, yes, it is possible. It is possible to change the way you speak, but let me add to that, it does take some work. And is it necessary to change my accent? I'll be the first to tell you that there is nothing wrong with having different accents. In fact, everybody has an accent. I have an accent. I just happen to have more of a West Coast, California type of accent. But everybody has an accent, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with having an accent. So if that's true, is it necessary to change your accent? Well, it is if you're finding that your accent is getting in the way of what it is you're doing, or if it's making you feel bad about yourself in any way. So my answer for that is yes and no. Will I be giving up part of who I am by changing how I speak? Believe it or not, I do hear that quite a bit from people. No. Actually, you don't give up anything. You just simply add to what you already have. You don't become less of yourself. You're just adding on an extra accent or extra style of being. You're not taking away from yourself. So I don't think that that's possible. Am I too old? No. People say that after 12 years of age, it's harder to learn a new accent. Well, yes, it is. But are you too old to do it? No. Are you too old to learn to play the piano? No. You can learn to play the piano when you're 90 years old. You can also learn a new accent when you're 90 years old. You're not too old. Am I too dumb? Well, I don't know you personally, but obviously you've come here for some help, and I would say no, you're not too dumb. Of course not. Don't men pick up on accent better than women? Or don't women pick up on accent better than I do if I'm a man? Accent is entirely individual. If you are a person who is very verbal and vocal, you enjoy listening to sounds, you enjoy speaking a lot, you might pick up on things faster. You might pick up on things faster than, say, somebody who is very scientific or mathematically oriented. But still, you can do it too. Will my native language affect my pronunciation? Absolutely. Absolutely. Your native language always affects your pronunciation because whatever sounds and whatever intonation, whatever rhythm we have in our native language, as adults, when we learn a new language as adults, we bring those sounds into the new language. So it's fairly easy for me because I've been working with people from all over the world for a long time. It's quite easy for me to hear your English and have a pretty good idea of where you're from. For example, if you're from Japan, you have certain sounds in English that are Japanese. If you're from France, you have sounds when you speak English that sound French. So your native language does affect your pronunciation. And that's because we're born with clean slates, but we learn sounds, intonations, and patterns of our own language within a very few months of our lives. In fact, I've heard that if you take babies that are just 9 months old and you listen to their babbling, and you know, they're not speaking yet, but you're listening to their ba-ba-ga-ga, people who are trained to do this can actually hear a difference between babies who are going to, say, speak French or babies who are going to speak Chinese. They have a different kind of babbling sound, a different kind of intonation, and they're already picking up a lot of the sounds around them. Can native English speakers understand me? I can't answer that. Only you can. But will they be able to understand you with the right practice and the right instruction? Yes, they will. How long is this going to take? I can't answer that exactly either. But most people find that within 3 months, they can see a lot of improvement. Within 6 months, much more. But most likely, changing your accent will be an ongoing process. It may take years. And unless you have a strong desire to sound exactly like a native English speaker, it doesn't even matter. You just want to be to the point where people understand you well, where you feel comfortable at what you're doing, and where people aren't always asking you to repeat yourself. So whether it's taking 3 months or 3 years or 30 years, it doesn't really matter. But if you really apply yourself and really work on the way you speak, and I want to emphasize, work on. It doesn't happen magically. You will see very good results. And do I really want to do this? Ask yourself that too. Changing the way you speak takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of awareness about what other people are saying and what you're saying and how similar they are. In order to change the way you speak will take a lot of work. It's going to take time, effort, and a certain amount of awareness of what's going on around you. Something that's very interesting to me is that often when we learn a new language, we have some kind of pronunciation or sound deafness. That is, we actually can't even hear the sound that is made in the new language. We just approximate it or put a sound that's very similar in our own language into the new language. So, for example, I may say apple, and you may say apple, and you may not hear the difference between the ah and the ah. So you're going to have to be aware of what's going on before you can start making changes in the way you speak. And it takes time. It takes time, and it takes somebody pointing things out to you, because often as adults, we don't realize how things are really being said. When I was younger, I lived in Portugal, and I thought after a while I was sounding pretty good in my new language. But one time, a young man said to me, "Why do you say this sound? Why do you say this? It's not this, it's this other sound." And at first I thought, no, I'm doing it right, I'm sure. And he said, no, it should be this. And I listened carefully, and you know what? Until that very moment, I was never aware that I had been saying anything differently than any Portuguese-speaking person that I was around. But once he pointed out my mistake, I started hearing it everywhere. And I started realizing I had been saying this wrong for a very long time. And then I was able to gradually make the change in my own language and start producing the sound as the native Portuguese speakers do. This will happen to you too. You may be very surprised at how new sounds are created, but eventually you'll be able to make them your own. So if you're having doubts about whether or not you can take on a new accent, my answer to you is yes, of course you can. And I'm going to help you along the way, so don't even worry about it. Now, if you'll turn your page, you'll see some information about spelling. I want to bring this up in the very beginning because this is something that really harms so many people when they're learning to speak English. That's the spelling. If you have learned English mainly from books, that is, maybe you were in middle school, you started learning English by reading, you learned some vocabulary, maybe your teacher didn't speak to you in English, or maybe he or she didn't speak English well, you didn't get used to hearing the words, you got used to reading the words. If this was how you learned English, chances are you base a lot of your pronunciation on spelling. English spelling and pronunciation do not match. Most of the time, they don't match. There are some times that they do match, but most of the time, they don't match. Don't rely on spelling for your pronunciation. We do have some phonics or phonetics that we can follow sometimes, and young children learn how to read by phonics, meaning sounding out the words, but they also learn how to read by sight. There are different kinds of languages in the world. Some languages are what we call phonetic, and phonetic means if you see the word, you can say the word. Spanish is a really good example of that. Spanish is a very phonetic language. You see it, you know what it's going to be. There are some languages that are not phonetic at all. For example, Chinese. When you look at Chinese characters, you just have to memorize them to know what sound they're going to make. But English is a language we call semi-phonetic. Semi meaning part, phonetic meaning sound. So a semi-phonetic language means sometimes you can figure out what the sound will be from the spelling, but not always. So don't let yourself get too involved with spelling. Spelling is dangerous for pronunciation. And I'll let you go ahead and look at some of the examples on the page to see for yourself. But now, I'd like to talk about the topic of the day, and that is, what is an accent exactly? What is accent? Who has an accent? Well, like I said before, everybody has an accent. You have an accent, I have an accent. There are different kinds of accents. There are different language accents, for example, a Russian accent, a Chinese accent, and then there are accents within the language. In the United States alone, we have a Southern accent. We have an Eastern accent. These are also called dialects. But there are a little bit different ways of speaking. And definitely when you go outside of the United States, we hear British accents, Australian accents. And even within a smaller region, we can hear different styles of speaking. Now, like I said, I have an accent that tends to be more Western United States. I'm living in California, and I pretty much have a California accent, but I didn't grow up here. So I've picked up my accent in all the different places that I've lived in my life, but basically, it's Western United States. And feel free to follow my accent. You can adjust it just a little bit to whatever fits your region, especially if you're living in North America. If you're on the East Coast, for example, it may be a little bit different than the South or the West, and this goes for the US and Canada too. If you're outside of North America, you have a lot more leeway in the style of accent that you can use. But we're going to be dealing mainly with this West Coast United States accent, and even though I do speak it, I think it's okay. I think it's an okay accent to pick up because, let's face it, California is where Hollywood is. Hollywood has all of the movies. People all around the world watch movies from Hollywood, and it's a pretty accepted kind of accent. But it's up to you. You'll need to pay attention to people around you and what it is that they're doing, all the little variances that different people use. So now let's break accent down into a few pieces. Let's break accent into four pieces. In fact, if you'll look on your next page, you'll see something called four parts of accent. Now I've arranged these in no particular order, but let's start with the first one. The first one we'll call voicing. Voicing. Voicing? What's that? Very interestingly, very few people talk about voicing. But when I say voicing, what I really mean is, where does your voice come from? Well, of course, you'll say to me, Sherry, well, my voice comes from my voice box and then out through my mouth. And, well, that's true. But let's look at some different instruments just for fun. Think about a guitar. The guitar has a body that's fairly big. It's got a big cavity. And when you strum a guitar, you hear a fairly deep sound. But now think about a violin. It's kind of the same shape. It's a string instrument. But if you were to run your fingers over the strings of a violin, you would get a higher pitch than you would with a guitar, because the cavity is smaller. That opening area is smaller. Well, you can do the same thing with your voice. You can push your voice out of different areas of your body, believe it or not, your face, your throat, your chest, and you'll get a different sound. So, for example, when I speak English, I can really feel the sound coming from right in the bottom of my throat and the top of my chest. But a good contrast to English would be something like Chinese. If I studied Chinese and I spoke Chinese with a nice deep sound like I do in English, I would sound very American. Now, my Chinese isn't good, but listen, ni hao ma, ni hao, ni hao, ni hao. How are you? Ni hao. Hello. Ni hao ma. Hello. How are you? Very low sound. My teacher would probably say, no, you've got to make your sound higher. In fact, you bring it up kind of into the nasal area, right around the nose. Ni hao ma. Now, Chinese speakers, don't laugh at my Chinese. It's terrible. But if you notice the difference, you'll hear that the sound is coming from the cavity around the nose. This is a good, well, pretty good Chinese sound, very high in the face. But when I speak English, I speak deeper, a little bit deeper, closer to the chest area. Every language is spoken from a little bit different area. If you want to speak English well, you will think about where your voice comes from. Now, people always ask me, how can I do this? Here's a few techniques that you can do to make your voice a little bit deeper or lower into the chest. One of them is to simply drop your voice. So, for example, if you're a woman, you might think of yourself as a man. Hi, how are you? Just for practice purposes. Or if you're a man, you may want to think of yourself as a deep bass singer. Hello, hello. So that may help you a little bit. But one thing I find that helps a lot of people to think about where their voice comes is practice bringing your voice out on your air, on your breath. So instead of squeezing it a little bit higher through the throat or the nose, you want to let it come out from your lungs. So try this with me. Take a deep breath. Hi, 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 hi. Now I'm pushing my sound from my lungs as I speak. It's tiring, but it's good practice. See if you can feel where it's coming from. This is the American voice. Sometimes it helps if you just practice with a sexy voice, pulling that sound just up from your lungs and out. Hello. Now, of course, I don't want you to go around doing this all the time, unless you're in a romantic situation. But just talk to yourself sometime. Talk to yourself when you're in the car or when nobody's around. Try deepening your voice a little. See how it feels. It's not going to be natural for a while. It's going to take some time. But one thing I really would like for you to do is start paying attention to native English speakers, particularly North American native English speakers. Where does their voice come from? Can you hear? If you have native English speakers around you, excellent. Start listening to them. If you don't, get out some good Hollywood DVDs and listen to the actors. Where does the voice come from? and you'll be surprised. Now, of course, different people have different styles. I know some young American girls who say, "Hi, how are you?" That's their own style. And sometimes it's more of a social style, especially among young women. But overall, you'll notice that Americans and Canadians speak with a little bit lower voice than maybe you realized. Now, again, this depends on what your own native language is. Your own native language may also have a little bit deeper voice, but pay attention to Americans around you because it may be a little different than you thought. So second on our list is rhythm and intonation. These are two parts that make one whole. Rhythm is exactly what you think it is. It's the beat. It's the speed and the beat. Just like we have different rhythm for different kinds of music, we have a rhythm that would be good for jazz, rhythm that would be good for classical music, and rhythm that would be good for some kind of rock or hip hop. Different kinds of music have different kinds of rhythm. Da 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 da, or da 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 da. It depends on the music that you're listening to. Well, language is the same way. Every language has its own rhythm, its own speed. And intonation comes from the word tone, which is related to the sound, or also called the music of the language. This is the pitch, the ups and the downs. So rhythm and intonation is music. It's how the music is spoken. And every language has its own rhythm and intonation, and that's what those nine-month-old babies were already producing and what they'd already picked up at such a young age. Next on the sheet, you'll see word connections. You can probably guess what that is. Again, if you have learned English from a book, you may be seeing each word individually, like I am speaking, but nobody speaks like that. If you're used to reading more than listening, you may tend to speak word by word as well. That's not how it's done. When we speak English, we connect everything together. The only time we stop connecting is when we come to some kind of pause, which often is a thought group, or in writing, you'll see a comma or a period. But everything else, it's all hooked together, word after word after word. The only reason we don't do that when we're writing is it's much easier to distinguish each word if we put a space between them. But when we speak, we don't put a space between the words. We connect them all together. Listen to that. We connect them all together. Everything's connected. So this is what I mean by word connections. And finally, you'll see pronunciation. This is probably what you thought accent was all about. Pronunciation. Pronunciation is also called articulation. Articulation and pronunciation is how you produce the sounds. What is going on in your mouth to make the sound? If I say the sound b, b as in baby, I put my lips together, I use my voice, I let a little air come out between the lips, and I make the sound b. Articulation is how the sound is made, and it's also called pronunciation. So looking at all of these, and we may have some disagreement on this, this is okay. What do you think is the most important part of learning a new accent? Now, I should rephrase that. What do you think is most important to be understood? Which of these four parts of accent is most important to be understood by another person, particularly a native English speaking person? Go ahead and take a look. Is it voicing? Is it rhythm and intonation? Is it word connections or pronunciation? What do you think? And if you'd like, go ahead and write it down in the section below. And what do you think is next most important? And next most important, And finally, what do you think is least important to be understood? Just go ahead and jot those down. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. What do you think? Now let me give you my opinion and the opinion of most accent trainers. What did you say for most important? A lot of people will say pronunciation. I agree that pronunciation is so important. You can't be well understood without correct pronunciation. However, the most important part of accent is rhythm and intonation. Even if you make mistakes in pronunciation, you will be more understood with those pronunciation mistakes than you will be with intonation mistakes. Let me give you an example. One time a student came to me and she said, "Sherry, every day I go to Starbucks, every day I order the same thing, and every day the person says, 'What? What did you say? What do you want?'" And I said, "Oh, really? Well, what do you order?" And she said, "I ordered an Americano." I said, "Americano? Oh, I know what that is. That's coffee and hot water together." And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Oh, well, tomorrow go back to Starbucks and don't order an Americano, like American. Order an Americano with the stress on the con. An Americano, not Americano." The pronunciation was practically the same. She went back the next day, corrected the intonation, and the clerk understood and she got what she wanted. She wanted an Americano. Intonation is extremely important for the other person to understand you. They will forgive your pronunciation problems, but honestly, sometimes they won't understand you if your intonation is off. Intonation is very important. In this course, we're going to spend a lot of time on intonation. What did you put next? If you said pronunciation, I agree. Pronunciation is also extremely important for being understood. Just one step less than intonation. Now, let me ask you something else. In pronunciation, we have pronunciation of vowel sounds like ah, a, e, and we have pronunciation of consonant sounds, b, k, d. Of those two groups, what would you guess is most important to be understood? Vowel sounds or consonant sounds? I would have to say vowels. Vowels are more important because if you make a mistake with consonants, quite often the listener will be able to understand what you're trying to say. But if you make a mistake with vowels, you may be saying a completely different word. So vowels are just a little bit more important, in my opinion, than consonants. Okay, so most important is the rhythm and intonation. Second, pronunciation. How about third? Now remember, my question was, what is important to be understood? We can argue about this, and I don't know that there's a really correct answer, but in my opinion, I would say word connections, learning to connect words together. This won't actually always help you be understood, but it will definitely make you sound smoother and easier to listen to. So finally, voicing. Voicing is probably the least important thing to be understood. But one thing about voicing is if you want to sound like you have some power when you speak English, this is something that you need. It's not necessarily going to help you be better understood, but it's going to help you sound more in control, more empowered. And if you're working somewhere or even you're a student, you want to have this. You want to show that you are a strong person, intelligent person. This kind of thing will give you a little bit more power. And that's not something most people will tell you. But if you speak with a little bit deeper, more confident voice, you can sometimes get more of what you want. If, for example, if I said, I want a promotion, or I want a promotion, what do you think that the boss would be more impressed with? Probably a little bit deeper voice. So while it is not so important for understanding, it is important for you. So work on that. Go ahead and turn the page. So now that we've established that rhythm and intonation is very important for understanding, let's look a little bit more at intonation itself. Let's examine some languages other than English and their intonation. Now, like I said before, whatever our own patterns of intonation or pronunciation is in our own language, we bring that into the new language. So let's examine some intonation patterns in some languages other than English. Have you ever listened to Spanish? If Spanish is your native language, you probably can't detect what your intonation is, but other people can. If you don't speak Spanish, but you have heard people who do speak Spanish, you probably have some idea of how it sounds. Because of the stress pattern in Spanish, Spanish has kind of an up and down sound. It has a da 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 sound. It actually has two pitches, da 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 da. So just for fun, get a pencil out and draw what you hear. Be a little bit artistic. What do you think Spanish sounds like? If I were diagramming Spanish, I would probably make it jut up and down, an up and down pattern. Da 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 da. Not too high, not too low, just up and down. Have you ever heard Chinese?
你好，现在说的是台湾中文。很高兴认识你。
Now again, if you speak Chinese, you won't be able to hear this as well because Chinese is your own language. But Chinese has four different tones, which causes the sound to go very high and low, and it has almost a sing-songy sound. So if I were to diagram Chinese, I would probably make very high waves and very low waves. 你好吗? Have you ever heard Korean? Listen to this.
안녕하세요. 저는지금한국말을하고있습니다. 만나서반갑습니다.
How would you diagram this? How about Japanese?
こんにちは。これは日本語です。はじめまして。よろしくお願いします。
Now listen to some Arabic.
هذه عينة من اللغة العربية. أتمنى لكم التوفيق.
All different rhythms, all different intonation patterns. You can go ahead and think of some other languages if you know of any and diagram their intonation patterns too. The reason I'm pointing this out is because I want you to be aware of intonation, how languages sound, because your intonation pattern that you have in your native language is affecting your English. Whatever the diagram is of your native language is what you're probably using in English. Let's go ahead and think about English. For example, the boy down the street went to the store to buy some apples for his mother. Da 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 da. You can hear some really long and strong sounds and some very short and weak sounds. Is it rhythmic? Is it the same rhythm again and again? No, it's not. It's fairly irregular. And there's a reason for that, and we'll talk a whole lot more about that in the near future. But basically, every time you hear a long, strong sound, you're hearing a stressed syllable. And there is a stressed syllable in every main word. Every word such as a noun, a verb, an adjective, an adverb. The other lower sounds are either unstressed syllables or words that don't have a lot of importance, like prepositions and articles. And we'll talk a lot more about it. But if you diagram this, I would diagram very small hills and then big mountains. Small hills and then big mountains. Start paying attention to native English speakers. Start noticing how their rhythm is different from your own rhythm. That's the first step in bringing yourself to an American intonation pattern. Now remember, the intonation is very, very important. So starting to feel and pick up this beat, this different kind of rhythm, instead of maybe classical, you're going to start picking up some jazz rhythm. Start paying attention to the ups and the downs, the fasts and the slows in English. You're going to be very surprised once you start opening your ears to what's going on around you. So perk up your ears. Pay attention to native speakers around you. Go and examine some of the little video clips we have for you of native English speakers speaking. Really notice how the voice is coming out. Really notice the intonation patterns. This is the first key to being able to do this yourself. Number one, be aware. Number two, pay attention to people around you. And number three, start putting it into your own speaking. So that's all we have for this class today. I'll be waiting for you in our next class on the specific details of the American accent. This is going to be fun. See you next time. Bye.